So we have been looking at the book of Ruth, and so if you will, turn in your Bible to Ruth, and we're going to be in chapter 3 this week. And if you haven't been here to hear anything that we've talked to up to this point, I'm going to give you a little bit of background so that you're not left behind, you're caught up with us. And so a couple things real quick. The book of Ruth is written during the cycle of the Judges, or the book of Judges, some of you might know it as. And Judges is a book, and I said the cycle of the Judges. Basically what happens is the nation of Israel, this is kind of just a little background information I wanted to give you before we get started here. But Judges is written, and what happens is the people sin. They fall away from God, and when they fall away from God, they usually fall away because of an idol. They start worshiping false gods, and so God takes his hand of protection away from them. And once he takes his hand of protection away from them, they get conquered by a neighboring nation, a neighboring country. And then the people go, oh man, this is not good to be conquered by a neighboring nation. And so they start praying. They repent of their sins and they start praying. And once they do that, then God sends a deliverer. He sends a judge to come and deliver them from that cycle, or from the people that have conquered them. And once that happens, then the people are thankful for about 3 seconds. And after that, they go back to worshiping their false gods somewhere. Okay? And so what happens is, when we look at the book of Ruth, we're in the middle of that. And there's kind of it might be a punishment, it might just be a drought or something. But a man takes his wife, his name is Elimelech, he takes his wife from the land of Bethlehem, and he leaves Bethlehem, and when he leaves Bethlehem, he goes from, Bethlehem is the house it's known as, or if you take all the words, the Hebrew words, it's the house of God and bread, and he goes to Moab, which is God's wash pot, and he takes his family from there, and when he does, he has a wife and 2 kids. Well, it's shortly thereafter that Elimelech dies, and after he dies, his 2 sons get married to Moabite girls, and those 2 sons get married, and then they die. And so what you have left is you have Naomi, which is the mother, and you have the 2 daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, and those 2 are left. And Naomi hears that the famine is over, and so what she does is she decides to go back to Bethlehem. And as she's going back, her 2 daughters-in-law say, "We're going with you." And as they get on the road and they're all crying, Ruth is very determined to go with Naomi. But Orpah says, "Well, I think I'd rather go back to my gods and to my people." And Ruth says, "I'm going to the God of Israel." And she would rather have a life of difficulty with God than have a life of ease with God. False gods. And so she decides to go. And once she goes, she ends up gleaning. And gleaning is a way that God would feed poor people back in those days. Naomi and Ruth were very poor. In fact, they weren't just poor, they were poor. They were they couldn't even afford the other. Oh, that's how poor they were. They were. And what would happen is you go into these fields and you would glean. And as you would glean, you would take home maybe enough flour or wheat or barley or something to cook a loaf of bread for supper. But Ruth happened, the Bible says she happened upon the fields of Boaz. And when she's in the fields of Boaz, she gets blessed over and over and over and over again. And basically, it's kind of, we have this kind of a love story that's going. It's unfolding in the barley field, if you can imagine, of all places. And Ruth is kind of attracted to this man, Boaz. He's the owner. He's, you know, I don't know if he was handsome, but he was certainly a little bit wealthier because he's got people that work for him and servants that work for him and all those things. And Boaz is attracted to her, not because of what's on the outside, but because of her character. He sees that this is a woman who truly loves God and will not only do, like, follow God in word, but also in the deeds that she does. And so that's what has happened in chapter 1 and chapter 2. That was kind of the fast-forward version of it. But there's this little law that the Israelites had that's really foreign to us. It was kind of God's way of taking care of widows and orphans. Because back in Ruth's day and back in the days of Israel, there was this rule that if it was really important to have kids back then. It was really important that your family name was carried on. You know, now that's not really like our society. In our society, we've got people who are, you know, they've got dual incomes and they don't have any kids at all. And they don't want kids and they don't want... But back in those days, it was really important to have offspring and to have kids. Part of the reason was because the land stayed in the family. In Ocean View, if you buy a piece of land here and later you decide to sell it, you own it for a while and then you sell it. But back in those days, you inherited the land of your father, okay? And he didn't sell it and he didn't buy it. It was your family's land. And if you the male were to die, then that land wouldn't have a title or a deed. It would, you know, what would happen to it? And so they had this little thing called the kinsman redeemer. And Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 1 through 5, talks about that. And it says, when brothers live together and one of them dies and has no son, the wife of the deceased shall not be married outside the family to a strange man. Her husband's brother shall go in to her and take her to himself as a wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. In other words, if your brother died, then you married his wife. Okay? And that was how widows and orphans were taken care of. They were given a family. Okay? And so kind of what's happening here is that whole situation is going on. That's the customs. That's what is happening. Now, Ruth and her mother-in-law don't have any kinsman redeemer. The name of this is called a kinsman redeemer. Someone who redeems, and a kinsman is someone who is a close relation to you. So you have Naomi, and Naomi's an older woman, I'm assuming, because of some of the things in the text. She's already had a couple kids, and she's had some daughters-in-law, and she's been away from Bethlehem for 10 years, and she's not gleaning in the fields, and we don't know the exact reason, but it's probably because she's not physically able to. And so she's going to start doing her work now in chapter 3, verse 1. So look at it with me. And it says this, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, her is Ruth, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? Now is not Boaz our kinsman with whose maids you were? Behold, he is winnowing barley at the threshing floor tonight. Now there's some confusing words in here if you don't know what's happening, and we kind of got to understand the culture a little bit. The first thing that we need to understand is Naomi is talking with her daughter-in-law Ruth, and she says, shall I not seek security for you? In other words, what's the security that she's looking for? This is kind of her ploy of finding Ruth a husband. She's like, oh, I am going to set you up. I am a matchmaker and I am good at it. And so I'm going to hook you up with the best man in town. Shall I not seek security for you? Okay, so you can feel this kind of romance is blooming. And she gives her some advice here. All right, now understand that we've already looked at Ruth's character. Ruth isn't someone who just goes after any man. She has a character, you know, that she loves God deeply and dearly. Okay, and that's her character. We've talked about that the last couple weeks. You'll see that again in the section tonight. But she's going to point out in verse 2, hey, you know, Boaz, he's our kinsman. He's close in relationship with us. And tonight, he's down at the barley field, at the threshing floor, by the barley field. Okay, and what's a barley field? A barley field is where they grow barley. Okay, barley's a grain that you would grow. But what's a threshing floor? Threshing floor is usually if you had a piece of land and you had the highest, you'd take the highest hill where the wind was kind of blowing through and all that kind of stuff. And when you take barley, you cut it and then you take all the grain off. And when you get the grain, there's a seed on the inside, but there's a husk on the outside, kind of like if you've ever had a Mac nut before. You know, the part you eat is kind of tough to get to. And barley and wheat and flour, they're the same way. They got a protective husk over the top of them. And what they would do is they would take the barley and they'd lay it out and they'd take a stick or something. They'd take a beater and they would start beating the barley. And what would happen is it would separate the good stuff, the seed, the grain, from the chaff on the outside. And they'd put it in a blanket, or I don't know exactly how they would do it, but they would throw it up in the air as the wind was blowing, and the wind would come and it would blow the chaff away, all the bad stuff, but all the grain was heavy enough that it would sink to the bottom, to the whatever it was they were winnowing on. Now, if you know anything about the scripture, you'll see this pattern happening. You know, Gideon, he was one of the judges in the cycle of the judges. The Bible says that when the angel of the Lord comes to him, he says, "Hey, mighty man of God." And it says that Gideon is doing this process of separating the wheat from the chaff, but he's doing it in a hole. Okay, like he's afraid that someone will see him doing it, trying to feed himself, and so he's doing it in a hole, and God says, hey, mighty man of God. In fact, he says it's a wine press. A wine press is the hole. It's a, you know, if you had land, your threshing floor is on the top part, the elevation wise, and the wine press is at the bottom. Okay? So you also hear about how God is going to separate the wheat as from the chaff. In other words, that someday that God, when Jesus judges, there will be a judgment and the wheat will stay and the chaff will be blown off. And it will be burned up like with fire, is what the Bible says. Okay? So there's a couple references, but that's what it means to do this. He's going to be winnowing barley at the threshing floor tonight. Okay? So we know where Boaz is going to be, and now she's going to play Cupid, and she is going to, you know, try to get Boaz to accept her as a wife, basically. Okay, look at verse 3. Good advice here. He says, "Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes." In other words, make yourself look good. Okay, don't go down there smelling all bad and stinky and icky. Do the best you can to make yourself look good, because you're going to go and you're going to try to impress this man. Okay? "And go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. It shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what you shall do." Now, this is a little bit confusing, but what she's saying is, hey, he's going to have a hard day's work, and at the end of the hard day's work, don't approach him until he's done eating and drinking. And then when he lies down, figure out where he is. Go take his blankets off his feet and lay down by his feet. Okay? Now, that's kind of weird, right? What is happening here is she is going and she is showing a submissive spirit to Boaz. She's saying, look, I want you to be my authority. I want you to be the one in charge. And she's showing respect to him. Remember last week we saw her fall on her face at his feet, and we talked about the respect that commands. And again, we're going to see this principle of, if you're a woman, God wants you to respect. If you're a man, God wants you to love. Okay, and again, we talked about that last week. But she's told to prepare herself physically. And in the pursuit of security, Ruth takes godly wisdom. She seeks it out, and we're going to see in just a minute that she takes it. Now, if you've got a difficult decision to make, or if there's something going on in your life and you don't really know what to do, that's pretty normal, okay? What isn't normal is a lot of times people, they just run ahead and they go forward. The Bible says that you can find security with a multitude of counselors. That when we have troubles, when we have a thing where we don't know what to do, sometimes the best thing we can do is seek godly advice. Find people that we respect, that we know love God, and ask them how we should pursue whatever it is that we're doing. Okay? Now, not only, first of all, this is like a head knowledge, right? This is like, once you get it, wisdom and advice, it's one thing to know it up here in your head, but it's something else to do it with your hands and your feet, okay? Now, with that said, Ruth, number one, look at verse 5 with me real quick. She said to her, that's Ruth speaking to Naomi, "All that you say, I will do." Okay? So that's her head knowledge. She understands this wisdom, and she says, "Hey, I'm going to do it." Now, unfortunately, a lot of us have things that we know that we're supposed to do. There's things in our head that we know we're supposed to do. That, you know, there might be something that we need to give up. There might be something that we need to do. I bet if I were to ask you, does everybody know that you're supposed to save for retirement? You know, I think everyone in here would say, yeah, I know you're supposed to save for retirement. And then if we are asked the question, well, how many of you are doing it? We'd probably get a whole lot less hands, right? Or if I ask the question, hey, does everybody in here know that you're supposed to read your Bible and pray every day? I think most of us in here, 99% of us, maybe 100% of us would say, absolutely, Pastor Tim, I know that I'm supposed to read my Bible and I'm supposed to pray every day. And then if I were to ask the question, take this last month, have you read your Bible and prayed every day over the last month? Now, I'm not trying to be legalistic here, okay? Being in a relationship with God isn't just about reading your Bible and praying. But being in a, if you want to be in a relationship with someone, you have to communicate with them. Okay? And sometimes what happens in our lives is we have this head knowledge, but we don't have the heart knowledge. We don't go out and do it. Okay? And maybe today God is saying to you, you've known for many years or many weeks or maybe just for a half an hour, there's something you should do. And now it's time to do it. Look at the rest here of verse 6. Let me go back to verse 5 and then we'll move on. She said to her, "All that you say I will do." That's the head knowledge. So she went down to the threshing floor. And she did all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. That's the heart knowledge. Okay? Her head knowledge transfers into action. Sometimes that's called faith too. Okay? And without feet, our faith is completely dead. That's what the Bible says. All right. Now look at verse 7 with me. When Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came secretly and uncovered his feet and laid down. Now, she's going to do what her mother-in-law has told her to do, but why would he be sleeping at the foot of the heap of grain? I mean, why wouldn't you just go home and sleep in your bed? He's probably afraid of thieves. He's probably afraid, you know, he's got this pile of grain there, and he's got all of his workers there, and they're, you know, they're camping out around the grain so no one sneaks in and steals their grain, okay? So that's why he's at the threshing floor, because he's there protecting his investment, okay? It's the perfect crime. Someone does all the work for you. They plant it, they water it or whatever, and it grows up and they cut it and they separate the wheat from the chaff and then they leave it there on the threshing floor and you walk in and you take it all, right? Okay. And so that's what he's doing there. But look what it says that she actually does this. This is telling us that Ruth isn't just a hearer of the word of God, but she's a doer as well. She does what God tells her to do. And she's laying down at his feet. And it happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled and bent forward, and behold, a woman was laying at his feet. Okay, now this is probably a startling thing for him. You can imagine you're out on a camp out and you wake up and there's this woman sleeping at your feet. And he doesn't, you know, he's probably a little bit more coherent than I am when I wake up. But when I wake up, I need